heard, been so good and so encouraging, so helpful. And I mean that. Brother Brown preached this morning on that humility. And boy, if there's anything the Lord's been trying to work in my heart for many days now, it's the very subject. And I tried to, you know, sometimes you try to say something to somebody to tell them, and I guess they think you're just trying to be kind. But the Lord's really been working in my heart with that thing of humility, Brother Brown. And I tried to convey that to you this morning, and I mean it publicly. That centurion come to the Lord Jesus, and he said, I'm a man under authority. I have men, I say, do this, do that, and they do it. He understood that power, you will never have power or authority over those under you until you're submitted to those over you. And he knew that. I want you to turn this evening to the book of Acts. I'm troubled about preaching. I really am. I was praying, and I'm not saying this, I'm saying it honestly. I was praying that maybe Brother Robert used Brother Barry. But I've got a subject that I don't really want to deal with. I just really don't want to deal with it. But I knew if the Lord had me to preach again today that I would have to deal with this. And so don't put on the armor now and run back and say, well, what in the world's coming now? Acts 15, verse 30. Acts 15, 30. Thank you, Brother Robert, for letting us come again. Acts 15, 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. When they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, been recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Sicily, confirming the churches. Can I ask you this before we pray? I dealt with this as a Wednesday night lesson in our church over a year ago. Haven't preached it since. It's the only time I dealt with it. What I'm going to do this evening is going to seem more like a Sunday school lesson than me preaching. But I have a deep conviction about what I'm fixing to preach on. Or at least teach on or say whatever. I just want to get the word out there. However it is, I just want to get the word out there. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you for all the good day, the good message on prayer we heard this morning that so, Lord, made me want to go pray today. Lord, the good message on humility of God. Lord, that we need to be humble in whatever we do. Put that apron on and just do what we're supposed to do. And then, Lord, the message about before we can go forward, how we've got to go back, God, to some things in our life. I pray now, Father, I pray, oh dear God, I pray, Lord, for the touch of God on my mouth, my mind, and my heart motive. I do not want to stand here, God, in front of these great, great Christians and great men of God and, Lord, waste time or say something that will just be forgotten. Lord, please, this evening, help me to speak in the power and the humility of the Lord. I love you. I thank you for this privilege. I count it, God, that you have ordained it and use it for your glory. Bless this great church and this great pastor and his family. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. It's of great interest to me that the Holy Ghost takes the time to record this incident in the Word of the Lord about the split of two of the greatest men that the church had to offer in that generation. That being, of course, Paul and Silas. One of the reasons I think that the Lord gave this, let us know here, he kind of gave us an indication of what went on that caused the split. And we have to understand why Paul and Silas began to come and Paul and Barnabas split up. Two of God's choice servants having such bitter disagreement that it ends up splitting them, and I can't ever find where they ever reconciled. These two men are at disunity. The two men that have caused unity in the church have now been instruments of causing disunity. The two men that have really been greatly used of God now come to a time to where there is such a bitter disagreement that they split up. These two men have been at unity in their desires. They have worked to strengthen the churches. They've been at unity in their directions. Acts 12:25 said they fulfilled their ministry. They've been at unity in their doctrine. They both agreed on the law and what the law is not and grace of God. They've been on total agreement on everything. I want you to understand, these are the two of the best men in the church in that day. I want to tell you what I'm going to preach on. I want you to just bear with me. We'll not shout. I promise you there'll be no shouting. I want to preach on this subject this evening, and I'm struggling with this. But I want to preach on the subject of when passions and principle collides. When passion and principle collides. Look at these men's character. If I can just go along here real hurriedly, if you'll stay with me, please. Try to stay awake and stay with me here. Their character. Notice what kind of men these are. First of all, they're good men. Look at Acts 11:24. Their character, Acts 11:24. Look at this. The Bible said, for he, speaking of Barnabas in verse 22, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Here is good men. Barnabas is a good man, and Paul is a good man. Both of them's good men. You'll agree with that, won't you? They're both good men. Look, if you will, please, I'm going to just kind of hurry along with this. In Acts 11:24, look what it says here. Acts 11:24. The Bible said here that, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. He was a godly man. These are good men. These are godly men. In Acts 13:9, it's stated that Paul is full of the Holy Ghost. Their character is that they're good men. They're both godly men. Both of them, Brother Brown, are full of the Holy Ghost. Both of them are full of goodness. They're good men. They're godly men. May I say thirdly, real hurriedly, they're gifted men. These men have possessions, Acts 4. They have position. They are the greatest members of the church. They have preaching abilities. Under Acts chapter number 9, the church was brought to real peace. Relative principles, they were edified. They were brought to right practices, walking in the fear of the Lord. They were had refreshing partnerships. There was comfort of the Holy Ghost. And there was reasonable prosperity. They were multiplied in the Lord. I'm just trying to say their character was that they were good, godly, gifted men that had been used to bring the church to being called Christians first in Antioch. Good men. How can good, godly, gifted men fall out. You can't say anything bad about these men. But something got between them. Let's go to the second truth. Not only the character. Notice their companionship. Barnabas had accepted Paul's ministry. Look in Acts chapter number 9. And I promise you I'm trying to hurry as much as I can. I know supper's real quick. Acts 9:26. Look what the Bible said here. And when Saul, Acts 9:26, was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Believe not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them, had seen the Lord in the way and had spoken to them and had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas had accepted Paul's ministry. The first man that gave Paul a right hand of fellowship, that took Paul and brought him to the brethren and said, hey, this brother's okay. He really got born again. He's all right. He is in agreement with Paul. He's accepted Paul's ministry. May I say, secondly, Barnabas has agreed with Paul's message. They all got the same message. They're not preaching different. They don't have a different philosophy about the ministry. Everything about them, Barnabas had accompanied Paul in his missionary journeys. Everything about them says that these two men are supposed to be together. I know it's quiet. I expected that. There's their character. There's their companionship. But notice real hurriedly their contention. Look back at your text, Acts 15. Lord help me. Acts 15. Look at what it said in verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between this good, godly, gifted men of great character, men that have been great companions, but their contention gets so great that it splits them. Give me the meaning of the word contention. It means a strife or a rivalry, a combat or contest to get the upper hand. Are y'all with me? Somebody's trying to get the upper hand. And what happens is a war of words becomes a raging battle. The raging battle creates bitter feelings. And bitter feelings results in split brethren. Their contention. Please stay with me a minute. The reason for their contention. Look in Acts 15:36. Here's Paul's idea. Acts 15:36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. Paul's idea. First, the idea is devised. If you'll note back in verse number 36, it says that there are others in Antioch preaching the word of God. Paul says the church in Antioch is enlightened. It has been enabled and it has been enriched. You've got good men there to preach to us. There's no longer any reason for us to stay in Antioch. Let us take our second missionary journey and strengthen the saints that got saved on the first missionary journey. The idea is devised. Then you see in verse 36, the idea is divulged. Paul says, God's put this in my heart in essence. Barnabas, it's time that we go in the second journey. He told him about it. Then the idea is discussed. They sit down and they talk about, no doubt, the period of when they're going to go. They talk about the path of which they're going to use and how they're going to sail the seas. They talk about the provisions they're going to have to take on the journey. And the next thing that comes up is the people that's going to go with them on the journey. They've agreed at everything from the day that Barnabas got saved, that Paul got saved, and Barnabas brought Paul into the ministry and accepted him. They've agreed on every detail of their life. Paul's idea, devised, divulged, and discussed. But notice Barnabas' intention. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose name was Mark. Barnabas has a desire too. Amen. This desire, help me, dear Lord. This desire involves family. Colossians 4:10 said that Barnabas, that Mark is Barnabas's nephew. Barnabas is sister. Mary is a mother of Mark. Now here's where I want to start. I'll say a thing or two. You better watch about making decisions that involve family in the church. I heard Dr. Seitler say once, I never forget what he said. Dr. Seitler said, in all my years, just a while before he left, oh, this is so hard to say. Oh, help me, Lord. Dr. Seitler said, I've never seen in all my years of pastoring a church that revolves around one family will ever do anything. Here's the desire. It involved family. Secondly, this desire involved feelings. Barnabas' affections for his attachment to his family was driving his thinking. Be careful that you forget what I'm preaching on. I'll get to my text more thoroughly in a minute. When passion and principles collide. When immovable passion meets powerful principle and nobody's willing to give in, there's going to be a wreck. Are you listening? Listen to the word determined. Not only do we see Barnabas' intention, his desire, but notice his determination. Bible said Barnabas was determined. Look up here now. The word determined means to be minded or to be purposed, to will deliberately. In other words, Barnabas' mind was made up. He says, I am not giving in. I do not care what you say. God help us when we get to the place that our mind's like concrete, all messed up and hard set. Man, it's off steel out there. I guess it's the way I'm preaching probably. I've set you that way. I've got you on edge, I guess. Barnabas, listen, I've dealt with it 1,000 times in people's lives at the church. When somebody had their mind, listen, when their mind was made up, when in a marriage they made their mind up, it ain't going to work, I'm leaving him. When you get so determined in your life, you take this for what it's worth. I've been pastoring 33 years. I didn't start yesterday. I want to tell you something I've learned. When people make up their mind they're going to leave your church, you just well leave them alone, let them go. When they get determined, you can't stick your finger in your eye, both hands right. I don't care what you say or what you do, you ain't going to help them. They've got their mind made up, and 99 times out of 100, they're operating on passion, not principle. In 33 years, I have never had one man to attack my preaching. I haven't, now please don't misunderstand this statement. If you do, you'll misunderstand what the point I'm trying to make. I have had many people leave my church to say, preacher, you preach like a lawyer. You lay your case, and when you get done, you cannot doubt what you've said. I've had them to say, I love your preaching. You're one of the best preachers I ever heard, but you hurt my feelings. I'm telling you, friend, you better beware of living your life by passion. Amen, friend. His mind was made up. You got Paul's idea under this reason. You got Barnabas' intention. But you've got Paul's insight. Look at verse 38, Paul's insight. Paul thought not good to take with him. Paul had been thinking about this. Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Paul had been thinking about this. Paul has insight into John Mark's calling. There is no scripture in your Bible, as far as I know. If you can show it to me, please. I'm honest as a heart attack. Please help me with it. There is no scripture in your Bible that you can ever use to prove that God called John Mark to preach. Listen. You say what happened? In Acts chapter number 12, they had a prayer meeting to get Peter out of jail. And in that Holy Ghost prayer meeting, where it was a high emotional service, the Bible said they took John to the ministry. You know what happened in Acts chapter 13, verse number 4 and 5? The Bible said as they were ministering to the Lord, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work where I've called him. The next verse said they took John with them. This it is. Help me, Lord. There's something's troubling me today. It's troubling me. We're trying to pump these meetings to such a high emotional high that people's making professions and vows and getting called and making vows and feel like God called them. Instead of living by faith, we've got emotions and feelings involved. And we're calling men and getting men involved out of a high. Listen, you better watch about getting too many young people on a high and a high emotional meeting. They'll make some kind of profession that will not be right. They'll make some kind of vow. Brother will call him, daddy will call him. Listen, John Mark got in a high emotional prayer meeting. They prayed Peter out of jail. He said, I think, bless God, I'll get involved in this too. Paul said, I question his calling. We should have had time to really deal with that. Paul obviously recognizes that they made a mistake when they, without the calling of God, took John to the ministry. I'm afraid we've called men to the ministry today. God didn't call. Called out of an emotionally high meeting. I'm going to get some of you hurt at me here now, but I'm telling you, friend, I've got to obey God. I've got to put that apron on, son. I listen to meetings like this and testimonies breaks out. 99% of them's I feel my feelings. We're operating by passion. We pump it up, and if it ain't up, we'll get up and work it up 30 minutes. Give somebody a shout. Listen, it was a good day when I started preaching, not worrying about this meeting. I do not preach word about this meeting. I preach word about you when you get out of this meeting. I want to help you when you leave here. I'm not interested in you getting emotionally high right here. You can call me hateful. I'm telling you, friend, God broke my heart with this. I beg God to let Brother Barry preach. I'm not lying. Don't misunderstand me, not that I didn't think Brother Barry preached. I just didn't want to do it. Paul had insight to his calling. Paul had insight into his character. History tells us that man there in Mark chapter number 15, that the night of the betrayal of the Lord Jesus, that fellow that ran naked, you know who that was? It's Mark. Don't you die on me out there. Y'all getting quiet on me.
when he got out there and he got in that battle with that demon-possessed man there in Acts chapter number 13, you know what happened? When the battle got on, God hadn't called him man and put him in the battle. And you know what he did? He ran again. And Paul said, I want to tell you something. This man's got a character problem. Help me, Lord. Paul's saying, John Mark's character needs developing. Oh, help me, Jesus. He became unreliable. An unfaithful man in the time of needs, like a foot out of jaw, broken tooth, or a foot out of joint. We are trying to raise people under passion and they ain't got no strength. I ain't started yet. Hold on. Help me, Lord. Oh, God, I tell you. Character needed developing and choices needed some discipline. Paul's integrity. What happened? Here's the problem. And I'll come to short things I want to say real quickly. Here's the problem. Barnabas is operating by passion, feelings for his nephew. Paul is operating by principle. And when passion and principle meet up in life, something's going to give. You see, Barnabas was a man, and I'm not knocking Barnabas. He's called by the apostles, Barnabas, a son of consolation. Speak of tender feelings, a touchy-feely fella. Thank you for your amen. When you get in the book of Galatians, Paul says, oh, Barnabas, when Peter fellowshipped with that bunch of Jews and that bunch of Gentiles as a Jew, you know what the Bible said? That Barnabas was carried away with this dissimulation. He played the role of a hypocrite because he's a passionate fellow. Barnabas is a touchy-feely guy. He's operating by passion. He's got feelings for his nephew. Paul says, you cannot operate your Christian life by passion. You've got to operate it by principle. What are you going to do when irresistible passion meets immovable principle? Now here's the Sunday school lesson. Listen to this. Passion is more interested in the workman. Barnabas is interested in John. Principle is interested in the work. Look, if you will, in verse 38. Paul thought not good. He said he left the work. Preacher, if I'm preaching too long, please tell me. I'm on you. I know it's supper time. What we've done in our churches, we put the workman above the work. But I want to tell you something. The workman never has and never will be more important than the work. We endanger the work when we get our eyes on the workman above the work. How many men have disqualified themselves in the pulpit? We put them right back in the pulpit because we loved the workman. We had passion for the man. But principle says, I don't care if it's mother, if it's daddy, if it's sister, if it's brother, if it's a best friend of God. I've got to put the workman under the work. Oh, we could deal there. Passion says, forget the failure and move on. Principle says, fix the flaw before you move on. Principle cannot overlook spiritual indiscretions as minor issues. Character flaws are usually the reason for Christian failures. There's a world of difference between a faulty choice and a flawed character. Have I got anybody's attention? You can get out of the will of God and make a faulty choice, but you can't fix faulty character. We're seeing men in the pulpit, their problem is not faulty choices. It's flawed characters. Help me, Lord. Characters that are flawed. Listen, a faulty choice to wind up with a man like Peter on his face in repentance crying. But a flawed character will laugh about it and snigger about it and go right back and do it again and expect everybody to grin about it and think it's all right. It ain't all right. I don't care if you're getting mad at me. It ain't all right. I'm tired of sticking men back in the pulpit before their flaw and their character's fixed. David had a faulty choice. He committed adultery. But I dare you to find every time God testifies about him, did God say anything bad about him? When God testifies about him, he says, a man after my own heart. He said he served his own generation by the will of God. He said he'd done all my will. You know why? God saw a man with a character and a heart that was right, though he'd made a wrong choice. You make a wrong choice and overcome it. But I tell you, you can't overcome a bad character. Well, amen. Bless God, if it's 6 o'clock, I just wish to get out here at 6 o'clock. I want to tell you, it's time, bless God, some of us stepped up and said, by God's help and grace, I'm going to be a man of character. Passion says, John needs to go forth. Principle says, John needs to grow before he goes forth. Passion focuses on the human spirit. Principle focuses on the Holy Spirit. Passion will compromise principle. Principle will not compromise with passion. Amen. I'm about to get plugged in. They come to Jesus and said, don't you know what you offended them? He said, I know it. Let them alone. Every root tree that I didn't plant, the Father didn't plant, to be plucked up. He said, I'm not going to compromise my principle because somebody's mad at me. Passion will corrupt principle. But principle will correct passion. What are you saying? You know what happened? Paul got right with Mark in the last part of his life. You know why? You can't get right with passion. Passion's unreasonable. You can't reason with passion. I've had people get mad at me. I said, let's sit down and talk. I ain't interested in it. I'm mad. I might get tore up with you, but if you're a man of principle, operating by principle, later on in Paul's life, God got his heart right, and he said, Mark, profitable me to the ministry. Principle will correct passion, but passion will corrupt principle. Passion will run off in a fit of rage. Principle wait on the recommendation of the church. Barnabas, Paul ran off. Paul waited on what the church had to say about it. Look at verse 40 if you want to see it there. Principle says, I ain't interested in what the church got to say. I'm going to operate the way I feel. I ain't interested in what my pastor and them bunch of deacons and elders have got to say about it. Passion runs off in a fit of rage. Paul said, hey, let's wait around and see what the church says. Paul was recommended to the grace of God by the church. I want the backing of the church. What I feel ain't worth nothing. You know what we're doing? We are sacrificing principle upon the altar of passion. Help me, Lord. Passion's more interested in fellowship with the brethren. Principle's more in a fellowship with the fundamentals of the book. Passion focuses on the body. Principle focuses on the Bible. Y'all out there? Passion will weaken conviction, which ultimately will weaken Christianity. Principle will strengthen conviction, which ultimately will strengthen Christianity. Passion accuses principle of being unforgiving. Barnabas looked at Paul and said, who are you? You the guy that persecuted the church. God forgave you of your failure. You're unforgiving spirits. What's the matter with you? Put them double married preachers back in the pulpit anyway. Be forgiven. Quit being so hard nosed. Passion accuses principle of being unforgiving. People of passion usually get angry at people of principle. Listen to this. Principle will take you forward. Paul, being recommended by the church, went forward. Passion will take you backwards. Barnabas took Mark and went back to his hometown and never was heard of no more. Correct principles will create correct practices. Corrupt passions will create corrupt practices. Y'all still with me? I'm about done sometime. Principle will cause God to associate you with people who will strengthen your ministry. Principle led Paul to pick up his ministry with Silas. Had a fellow at our church, if I can run a rabbit just about 2 seconds. Come out of a lot of old mess, got coming to our church, a preacher, young preacher. Stayed about 3 years. Soon as he got linked up their church, he quit preaching to all these brethren, Southern Baptist, liberal outfits. He's now linked with our church and carried our name. Quit and come to my study one day, and I said, you have to make up in your mind, were you going to preach just to get to preach? Are you going to stand for something if you don't get to preach anywhere? I had to make my mark, and everybody in this building did many years ago. Well, I was going to be a man of passion, or I was going to be a man of principle. Amen. Amen. Passion, listen, let me say it again. Principle calls you to associate yourself with people who strengthen your ministry. Passion will place your ministry on a shelf. It shelved Barnabas because he chose to live by his feelings instead of a faith. Help me, Lord. Principle will define you, passion will deform you. Principle will direct you, passion will deceive you. Principle will fortify you, passion will fail you. Principle stable and secure, passion is a slippery slope. Anybody out there? Let me just stop a minute, lest I forget to tell you this later. Old Barnabas was fighting something God wasn't even in. It wasn't God's will for Mark to preach in the ministry. It was God's will for Mark to have a printing ministry. He didn't mean he preached the Bible. He meant for him to print the Bible. He wrote the book of Mark. How many times we fighting something God ain't even in start with? Principle's more concerned with the holy faith than it is with hurt feelings. Listen to this, please. Please listen to this. Principle, listen to this. Passion will probably get you more attention than principle. I watched that crowd early on in my ministry. Anything in the world went. I've always been backward and shy and quiet. I don't meet people well. I'm not unfriendly. People have told me that. I'm not unfriendly. I'm backward and I'm shy. I don't meet people well. I wouldn't preach today if I didn't know God made me do it. I watched that crowd. They got more attention than I ever thought about getting. But I remember them early years. I said, Lord, I'm not in this for the short haul. When I lay her down someday, I want to be marked as a man of principle. Principle, listen, passion may get you more attention than principle. But listen, at the end of the road, principle will cause you to be more admired than passion. Listen, I'm about to close here in just a little bit. Principle must precede and prevail over passion. Passion must submit and be subjected to principle. Passion's concerned about the loyalty to the brethren. Principle's concerned about loyalty to the beloved. Give too much attention to passion and you become a liberal. But give too much attention to principle and you'll become a legalist. You can't preach without passion. If you get too much passion, you'll get to where you won't say nothing about nothing. But if you get too much principle, you get to where you send something about everything with no passion. God help us that we could somehow marry principle and passion. The example, I suppose, in your Bible is that of the man and the woman. The man's Mr. Principle. The woman's Mrs. Passion. If men lived together, blood be running out of the door. But if women live together, it just be everything's okay. So God married principle, and He married passion. But He put principle head over passion. So principle keeps passion in check. But passion has kept principle in check a lot of times. Passion has said, my wife, she said, go ahead and get mad and throw a fit. You know who have to clean the mess up when you do, don't you?
Thank God for passion. Principal wants to walk in with a sharp-edged sword and cut Malachi's ear off. But passion says, what if I treated you like that? Principal said to that adulterous woman, he said, you're guilty. But passion said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. That's principle. Listen to this. Jesus said about that man to come to him. Bible said he walked away. He loved him. Passion loved him. But principle said, I can't save him as long as he's got the idolatry of covetous in his heart. I can't save him. I can't take him to heaven. If he goes to hell, I can't bow the principle of the Bible to save his soul. Are you hearing me? I'm thankful that principle says the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm thankful that passion says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad one day at a little place called Calvary, principle kissed passion. And passion submitted to principle. And I'm a saved man tonight because principle did not die upon the altar of passion. Are you here this evening? You've been trying to make some decisions. Who are you going to listen to? Are you going to make your decision based on principle? Or based on passion? Listen to this and I'm done. Go with principle. It'll be right 99 times out of 100. Because principle never varies. If you live your life by principle. I preached a message some years back and I'm done. I preached a message some years back on decide now what you'll decide before you're called up on to decide. Hey, some things I don't even have to think about. I have done established them principles in my life. What about you? I'm kind of like Martin Luther that nailed that old 94 thesis to the wall. He said, here I stand. God help me. Kind of like Nehemiah when he got up there and they said, why don't you come down here and talk to us? Nehemiah said, such a man as I flee. I'm a man of character. I can't run now. I've done told these folks and I've done made my brag what the Lord's going to do. I can't come down now. I just can't go back on principle. Listen to this. I promise you I'm done. Brother Robert, you'll be coming on. I'm done. Look here. Listen to this. I had rather be called a man of principle with no passion as to be called a man of passion with no principle. When principle and passion collides, who are you going to stand for? As this country is going to hell in a handbasket. And our pulpits are falling down on passion above principle. You say, but I'm not being liked. Quit living by your feelings.